Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios, the Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Square Sweepstakes. Rocket Mortgage is giving away millions during Super Bowl 54. See rules and enter for free at RocketMortgageSquares.com. And, of course, we continue to preview Super Bowl 54. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We can't wait to get down to Miami for the big game. Earlier in the week, we did have Chiefs legend Priest Holmes. We also had a three-time Super Bowl champion from the San Francisco 49ers in Randy Cross. And right now, we stick with the offensive lineman theme, going from Randy Cross of the 49ers to now a Pro Football Hall of Famer. And that was with the Kansas City Chiefs from 1993 to 2006. And that's Will Shields, kind enough to give us a few minutes right now on CBS Sports Radio. Will, it's Zach Gelb in New York City. Thanks for the time, and how are you?
No problem, man. I'm doing great.
That's got to be a fun time for you, right? The Kansas City Chiefs in the big game. What were the emotions like last weekend seeing them advance to the Super Bowl?
It was awesome. You know, it was one of those things where you get a chance to watch them. I mean, you were there for the last game, you know, last year. And basically trying to figure out, okay, can we get that last game in so we get a chance to play for the big ring? And that's what's excited about it. The city's on fire, which is great, and everybody's excited about what they've done and what they can do coming up here this week or next weekend.
It's so neat when a team gets to a Super Bowl, and that week leading up to the game, we look back at the entire franchise's history, and a lot of former players are on Radio Row next week and doing interviews. It's cool to kind of see that brotherhood that you guys had with those Chiefs teams kind of get recreated in this run. Do you feel that right now?
Always. You know, it gets you, you know, sort of revigorated. You get some guys in there that's playing unbelievable football. Of course, you get us as critics to sit here and analyze every little thing that's happening, regardless if it's good, bad, or indifferent. But it also gives you that chance to sort of re-energize yourself into what has been accomplished for those guys, but also the things that, you know, you got a chance to be a part of.
You probably are happy in the era that you played in from 93 to 2006, because you mentioned those critics. Back then, it was only in a newspaper. Now everyone has access to you via Twitter. You're probably happy to be in the era that you played in, right?
Oh, most definitely. Definitely happy to be in an era that I was. I mean, with all the other stuff that's going on, it's unreal. I mean, there's not too many things you can do that somebody else hasn't seen, videotaped, or actually sent out some way in some sort of social media. So, yeah, I am definitely ecstatic that I played in the era that I played in. This would be a lot more difficult time to have what you have now compared to what we had back in the past.
More money, though, now. That's the big positive.
Yeah, it is. It is. I mean, anytime you get something and the product becomes a little more visual and seen and everything else, there is that more money piece of it that comes along with it too. But also, as they say, as you make more money, there's more critics out there, there's more things you can and cannot do, that's for sure.
From a health perspective, how are you feeling these days, Will?
I'm doing great. I can't complain at all.
Hall of Famer Will Shields here with us on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Next weekend too, on Saturday, they have that deliberation period as we try to figure out who's going to be the new Hall of Fame class. I know it's a little bit different this year with other names that have already been announced with the Centennial class. But take me back to 2015, the day that you got that call to the Hall. What do you remember about it?
You know, it was one of the longest days you could ever imagine. I think the one that felt as long as that was when you were waiting to see if you're going to get drafted or what team you're going to get an opportunity to go out and try out for. You know, it's one of those things where you're like, okay, I'm not sure what's going to happen. And then they say, hey, are you in your room? Are you here? Are you there? What's going on? You know, and that's one thing that makes that day even longer, is because there is a specific time that you have to be around the hotel or in your room or what have you. And then, you know, I was through it a couple of different times there, and, you know, you're like, okay, am I going to get that knock on my door or am I not? Or am I going to get a phone call where somebody, you know, calls in and goes, hey, I'm sorry you didn't make it in this year, but you made the final list. You know, we hope to see you next year, that kind of thing. And, of course, while I'm sitting in the hotel room, my phone rings, and I pick it up, and I'm going, oh, okay, well, did you get your order for your room order? And I'm going, stop calling my phone. Like, you're freaking me out here, man. Don't call my phone anymore.
So you were ordering room service. Do you remember what you ordered that day?
Oh, I can't remember what I ordered that day, man. I was just sitting here in there. You know, they called back like twice because they brought it one time, and then they called back like, oh, did we forget your order? And I'm like, man, don't call my phone because I know what happens when they call the phone. But then I got the knock on the door and got a chance to see David Baker there. And, you know, it's one of those things that's sort of surreal to say that, you know, that you're part of this unique class of people that have been able to perform at a high level. But I also say, you know, there's a lot of guys that went along with me that forces you to be who you are and to be the best you could be and that kind of stuff. And it's more of the accountability of being around those guys that made you work as hard as you did to be, you know, a pretty good player, a better player than what you really thought you could have did on your own.
Your career speaks for itself with the 12 Pro Bowls and how you conducted yourself on the football field. We knew you were going to get in, and there's nothing really you could do about it once you end playing. It's out of your hands. It's all subjective in the Hall of Fame process. Did the process at all ever get under your skin in terms of the weight that you had to go through for a little bit?
Of course you do. I mean, that's the anything else. If not, if you say you did, you're not human. At least I don't think you're human if you don't go through that process and understand that, you know, when you're before that point, you don't really think about it until somebody goes, oh, yeah, well, you could actually become a Hall of Famer. You're like, yeah, right, whatever. And then you get on the final ballot. You get to that point where you go through ballot to ballot, and you get to the final ballot, and you're going, wow, well, I guess I could be one of these guys that could get one of those gold jackets. And then when it doesn't happen, you go, well, what happened? What did I do wrong? What was the process? So then you start, you know, second-guessing the process and everything else. But, you know, the thing of it is that there's so many talented guys out there that did great things in the NFL that are deservingly so to be in that gold jacket and to get to that next rung, that then you start walking across the street with other guys and you're looking at like, oh, wow, this guy didn't get in or that guy didn't get in. And, you know, some guys have waited 30 and 40 years to get their opportunity, and yet you were on the final ballot. You got a second chance and then a third chance. Then you finally get on and you're going, wow, man, you know, this is a unique, you know, group of guys that you're actually already a part of, knowing that there's other guys out there that, you know, had those chances that had them slip through multiple times. And, you know, you can't wait to get those guys in with open arms. So I think it's great that the Centennial is trying to get a lot of those guys back in that caught up that should be in, because they've all accomplished great things. Anybody that's on the ballot that's actually made it, you know, to that point, that's what you know, that they've contributed something great, something honorable to a league that's actually helped change the lives of so many different people.
You look at some of the names of the offensive lines that you're able to play on as we're talking to Will Shields. You know, I remember Willie Rofe and Brian Waters as well. How competitive were those offensive line rooms, Will?
Oh, they're very competitive. I think the one thing about it, though, is it's a unique room because within our room, we are one of those groups that are supposed to be seen and not heard. You know, we're not supposed to be the brass talkers or basically, you know, do all the other stuff. We're just supposed to do our job because we contribute to a bigger thing beyond what we can do. And we can only do it if we all do it together. But inside of that group, you know, we used to have this thing, left side versus right side. And I'm sorry, some days we pull our center right, and sometimes we pull them left. But we did have that external thing of like, you know, hey, man, you really want to get in the yards, you need to run to the right side. We don't need to go to the left side. We need to do this and do that. So we put that within our room to have our own little honor system, which made a big difference, you know, which makes you push each other to be better.
Now, we had Priest Holmes on earlier in the week, and he said the first year he made it to the Pro Bowl, he invited the entire offensive line to the actual Pro Bowl, and it cost him quite a pretty penny. Anything you guys used to do on the offensive line in terms of exchanging gifts or any other gifts that stand out to you that the running backs used to get you?
Well, you know, the running backs did a great job of getting us, you know, little trinkets and gifts and things of that nature. You know, both of our guys that were back in the backfield, they gave us, you know, we got watches from them at 1 year. And then the quarterbacks was always the ones that would get us different things. And I think one of the, you know, most unique one was one that Joe Montana gave me my first year to sort of set the tone. That's one we'll discuss offline, not online. But it's really cool what he did for us as an offensive lineman. But yeah, that's what's really cool about those guys that would do those gifts and take, you know, hey, you appreciate what you've done and what you've put together. But what Priest didn't tell you about that story is that actually Priest said, hey, it's a team effort. So we've gotten a chance to get to this Pro Bowl through all of you. So all of us guys that were going, we're going to help get all of you guys to the team. So invited the whole team to the Pro Bowl. And so at that point, guess who became the coordinator to help organize all of that crap?
I'm going to assume it's you.
So
you become the chaperone.
So it's at that point where you actually, you know, you go into the, at that point they had Chiefs Travel. You go in there and go, yeah, we need to try to figure out how to get all 65 guys to the Pro Bowl and that kind of stuff. So we devised a cool plan where the guys had to pay a specific stipend, and then we would try to take care of the rest as a group. And as many guys could go, went. And that was one thing about it. I mean, that really sort of set us as, you know, what a true team was. It was a group. It was everybody together. Now, of course, it took Priest to sort of set the tone, but at that point we had like 7 or 8 guys going that year. So that helped quite a bit. So it was a lot of fun. It was a blast. And it was something unique that you can always have as one of those stories of, you know, how close and how close you were as far as pushing each other to be better.
That 93 season, your first season, that's the first year, as we're talking to Will Shields now, the Pro Football Hall of Fame offensive lineman, the first year that Montana is in Kansas City. We all know what he did with the 49ers and the legendary career that he's had. What do you remember about meeting Joe and just that first season in general with all the transition, seeing him go from the 49ers to the Chiefs?
Well, you know, with having Joe Montana in the building, it made a whole different sort of feel. You know, you've been through high school, you've been through college, you've been on teams where you had guys that were electric, that could pulsate things throughout, you know, an organization. But when Joe Montana hit the floor, it elevated everyone else's understanding of what it's like to have somebody that could come in and change your organization. I think it was even to the point to where we even changed our field from turf to grass because, hey, he was not going to play on that turf and get hurt. So, you know, that's one of those things of, hey, these are the things that you have to do to be a top-notch organization and try to push your way through it. But also he just taught us how to actually be a pro, you know, confident in what you do, but understand that, you know, the fans and everyone else is just as important as everything else as a group, with having him and having Marcus and having all those guys that have been through it, that were sort of, they call them the twilight of their years, but it was the best light for us because we could learn how to be a true pro, and where we wanted to go and how they did it is how you wanted to do it.
I don't know the last time you talked to Joe, but have you guys had a conversation about Mahomes? And if not, just how about what Mahomes has been able to do in his young career? Because each and every week he makes an unbelievable play.
Yeah, well, you know, the thing of it is some of the things he reminds you of, like the first week that you were at camp. I haven't talked to Joe about, you know, what Patrick's been able to do. But the whole thing about it is that he does some things that are Montana-like, and you can see it on the field. Is the stuff that he does is the same stuff that, you know, Montana did when he was in the huddle. I mean, those were just like, you know, when you're in the huddle with Montana and Peyton Manning and all of those guys, they have a different command of the huddle. They have a different thought pattern of what they do. And they're, you know, they're willing to change some things and work through it to win. And that's what you see from them. And so you see, you know, some of the similarities across the board. And, you know, the thing about it is I say the game is a bunch of eras. Every era is different because of rules and changes and everything else. So you can't help but become better and be more proficient and to do and to set records and do things that haven't been done before, because it changes every era of what you can and can't do also. So you have to reinvent new ways to get done what you did before.
You know, everyone in this matchup coming up next Sunday is going to be talking about this Chiefs offense going up against this 49ers defense with that defensive line, with Bosa and Ford and Armstead and Buckner. As an offensive lineman perspective, how do you try to slow down that pass rush that the 49ers have?
Well, you got to, you know, do some of the things you've already been doing. You have to, you know, make that defense, you know, try to figure out what's going to happen next. You mean, is it a screen? Is it a draw? Is it a reverse? Is it, you know, different things or different parts of your offense that they're going to have to prepare for? You know, are we going to try to do, you know, one-on-one with Tariq by himself, and then you have Kelce and those different things? Make sure you utilize the whole gamut of the weapons that you have to sort of keep that defense a little at bay. I mean, we can't go back and drop back 20 times and put, you know, or I should say 50 or 60 times in a row. Maybe, you know, maybe that's not the process. Or if you do, we know, you know, you got to get the ball out as fast as you can and do some different things. I mean, you sort of have to keep it rolling, keep it guessing, and do what you've done to get here. You can't change that game plan, but you have to do some little things to slow them down here and there, whether it's chipping and stuff like that.
Last one for the Pro Football Hall of Famer, Will Shields. When you look back at your career, we talked about the Hall of Fame. You're also a Man of the Year Award winner. You played your entire career in Kansas City. When you look back, what are some of the things that you're most proud about in the way that you played the game?
You know, I think one of the things is that I can say that, you know, for the 14 years I was there, I had an opportunity to play with some of the best guys throughout the NFL. And the thing that was cool is that I got a chance, an opportunity to be a person that says, I can say I play every game with every guy I could possibly play with. And that's one of the coolest things ever to say is that, you know, any guy, any starting lineup that we had or what have you, you was always a part of it, and see the changing fold between different guys and different things to say that, you know, I got an opportunity to play a sport for a living. And that's one of the coolest things ever.
Well, hey, Will, we always appreciate the insight. Thanks so much, and be well, all right? We appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. You have a good one. Peace.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.